Former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd announced yesterday he's stepping down from his role as ambassador to the United States a year earlier than planned. Appointed to the position almost 3 years ago, Mr. Rudd navigated a big change in US leadership and scrutiny about his suitability for the role. Despite a famous spray from President Donald Trump, who told Mr. Rudd, "I don't like you and I probably never will," relations between the countries have remained close, with the AUKUS agreement surviving a Pentagon review and a major critical minerals deal signed in October. Former Liberal frontbencher Arthur Sinodinos was Kevin Rudd's predecessor in Washington. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Were you surprised to hear that Kevin Rudd is leaving his posting earlier than planned?
Yeah, I thought everything had been bedded down after the prime ministerial visit last year, and it was announced Kevin would get an extra year and that he had a four-year appointment till 2027. So, yeah, I'm surprised he's gone a bit early. I guess from what I can see here, he's gone for personal reasons rather than the government asking him to go. I think the government were quite happy to keep him in place till 2027, but an opening came up at the Asia Society. I think he's decided after three hard years, and they've been hard years, hard yakka, that sort of role, it's time to go back to the Asia Society and his old think tank stamping ground.
What's your assessment of the job that Kevin Rudd has done while he's been the ambassador?
I think he's done a very good job. I think what's been important is he's maintained the continuity on both sides of politics here in Australia on AUKUS. I mean, AUKUS was an initiative from when I was in government, and I took it through to the announcement in March 2023. But he took up the cudgels to get AUKUS legislation through the Congress. That was very important to do, to bed down how AUKUS would work. And I think the work he's done lately in helping with Richard Miles and others to navigate AUKUS through the new Trump administration to get their imprimatur on it has been very important, as well as, I think, bringing the critical minerals plans and compact, which had been in the works for a while, to fruition in terms of some potentially concrete deals, something which this administration here were very keen to do. They're very deal-oriented as opposed to just focused on the policy frameworks. And I think also he's done a good job on trade and investment, particularly highlighting the role that the Australian super funds can play in America. They're already investing a fair bit here. But I think it was his way of highlighting what a big role the super funds and the capital pool that's being generated in Australia. You know, it'll be the second largest retirement pool in the world by about 2030, remarkable for a country of our size. And that gives us a lot of economic leverage. And I think he's been good at putting the case, and I've been with him on a number of occasions where he's put the case, and I think he's put it very well, about the role the super funds can play in American development going forward.
Kevin Rudd's past comments about Donald Trump prior to becoming ambassador didn't exactly help his cause in Washington. There was that remarkable moment at the White House I mentioned earlier. Did that complicate his time in DC? How did he go about navigating that?
Well, look, it complicated it in the sense there was certainly a lot of commentary in the Australian media from various sources about this. In the end, I don't think it impeded his effectiveness in Washington, but I think it was something that became a talking point of its own, and to some extent it's also overshadowed his time in Washington in some of the pieces you've seen summing up his time here, which they all note his achievements and then go on to note this particular sort of contretemps with the president at the White House, which ironically was actually a good way for the two of them to clear the air on this, because Kevin was able to formally apologise for his comments face-to-face with the president, and that was, I think, important to clear the air. But the important thing here is, notwithstanding all the controversy of things like that, the important relationship is always between the prime minister and the president. And Kevin has been a very good support to Prime Minister Albanese as he's sought to prosecute that relationship, and the culmination of that was the very successful visit last year, which even though it was some time in coming, but in the end, the timing proved very good because the Critical Minerals Compact was ready to go.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where former Australian Ambassador to the US, Arthur Sinodinos, is my guest, as we talk about Kevin Rudd stepping down from his posting as ambassador in Washington. We're hearing quite a few names already being floated as potential replacements for Kevin Rudd, former Labor ministers Joel Fitzgibbon and Stephen Conroy, also former defence boss Greg Moriarty among them. Do you have any thoughts on who should get this posting?
Well, traditionally, this is a sort of posting that's filled at the political level by a minister or former prime minister, and traditionally aligned to the government of the day. On that basis, you'd think it'd likely to be either a current or former Labor minister. I mean, of the ones you mentioned, I think Joel Fitzgibbon, with his defence and national security background, his ongoing ties to the US, which he's maintained since parliamentary life, and also just essentially the way he is a very personable, you know, sort of guy, great networker and connector, I think he would go down very well here. But look, that's a judgment for the government. The important thing is whoever has the role has the ear of the Prime Minister, because that's when the work is done most effectively. Kevin had the ear of the Prime Minister, obviously. I had the ear of Scott Morrison, and that's why these roles can work.
Yeah, give me a sense of what the role of Australian Ambassador to the US is like. Why do you think it is suited to someone in or formerly from a political background?
Well, this is a very political town. They live and they breathe politics. So you've got to understand politics. You've got to understand government and how government works. You've got to be able to be on show 24/7. And as a politician or a minister, you know that already, so you understand that dynamic. And when you're a diplomat in this sort of high-level, high-scrutiny post, you're on show all the time. You've got to be out there networking, connecting, talking to people in the administration, the Congress, the think tanks, the other influencers around town, and all the people who potentially have information, intel or whatever. When you go to any function, it's a bit like being a journalist. You know, you're not there to relax. You're there to find out as much as you can and fill out the mosaic of information that helps you understand what are your interlocutors up to and how can you best influence what they're doing in Australia's interest.
Do you think the person who replaces Kevin Rudd should be someone who doesn't have comments on the public record criticising Donald Trump to try and avoid what happened with the current ambassador?
Well, you can bet London to a brick if someone's got those sorts of critical comments, it'll come up pretty quickly in the media discussion in Australia. Yeah. And that will immediately raise questions with the government. Well, why are you appointing X when X has said Y, ABC, whatever, about the President of the United States either now or in the recent past? And so I think it's better if it's someone who's been fairly steady and measured in their public comments, and that will go to their judgment and their capacity to relate to people in the White House.
Just briefly, Arthur Sinodinos, Donald Trump is yet to name his own ambassador to Australia nearly a year into his second term. Would that be of concern to the Australian government?
Look, I think it's always a great sign when an ambassador is appointed. And while the relationship remains in good form, an ambassador on the ground is the personification of that relationship, the custodian of the relationship. So I think it is important, even if the charge, in this case Eric Olson, has done a great job filling in for Carolyn Kennedy and now filling in as we await some nomination from the Trump administration, it is important to have an ambassador. There are several good candidates floating around. I think partly it's finding someone who can extricate themselves, whether it is from complex business activities in the US or someone who can come out of the Congress who at the moment may be unable to because the numbers are very close in the House. But I think it's keen. I'd be keen to see someone appointed sooner rather than later, because they can then provide a great focus for the relationship at the Australian end. And someone who is seen as having the ear of the president is always important in those roles, as Carolyn Kennedy did with Joe Biden.
All right, Arthur Sinodinos, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
It's a former Australian ambassador to the US and Liberal minister.